Welcome to Jason Powell's Pro Wrestling Boom Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. Get ready for the latest news, analysis, and interviews featuring big names from the world of pro wrestling. Here comes the boom!
Paul Allen, voice of the Minnesota Vikings. Check him out 9 to noon weekdays on KFNradio.com. And listen to my favorite show of the week, the Friday Football Feast with Paul and another Paul, my former boss, Paul Charchian. Again, every Friday on KFAN.com. I have to listen to that show on delay this week because WWE Crown Jewel will be airing on Friday morning, and I will be doing live coverage of that event at ProWrestling.net. And if nothing else, you got to say Crown Jewel is a fascinating show. On many levels. Of course, there's the political aspect, there's the card itself, there's John Cena and Daniel Bryan pulling out of the show, a new Universal Champion is going to be crowned, even the return of Shawn Michaels. My guest today is someone who is here to help me break it all down.
I ran a poll on Twitter a few days ago, and I said a simple yes or no poll. Are you going to watch Crown Jewel, yes or no? And some people explained, like, I got work at that time, I'm going to watch it later, so that kind of stuff. But the no's won, 58% no, 42% yes, and that was almost 1,000 votes.
John Canton of TJRWrestling.net is my guest, and he is a veteran wrestling reporter, and he shares his thoughts on WWE moving forward with this show and much more on today's Boom. Before we get to John, I want to say that I really enjoyed the Evolution show on Sunday night. Yeah, WWE patted themselves on the back way too much for the women's evolution, especially when, you know, they're the same top-level WWE officials who could have been way ahead of everyone else by showcasing the women differently long before they did. I mean, keep in mind, TNA, Impact Wrestling, yeah, TNA was ahead of WWE when it came to showcasing the women in a different light with the Knockouts division going back to that great Gail Kim and Awesome Kong feud. Aside from that, though, this was a really enjoyable pay-per-view. I actually had someone in our comments section at ProWrestling.net suggest that the show was getting favorable reviews from us and others because it's the PC thing to do. Give me a break. I can't speak for everybody, but I call every show as I see it. And in this case, it was a very good show. I love the Becky Lynch and Charlotte Last Woman Standing match, and that it had a good, decisive finish, no nonsense finish, no duct tape, nothing like that. I enjoyed the Ronda Rousey and Brie Bella main event, even though I would have flip-flopped the order. The NXT Women's Championship match was really good. The Mae Young Classic final could have used a couple more minutes, but I thought Toni Storm and Io Shirai did a great job with the time they had. And Toni Storm and Shayna Baszler are both future stars. They should be major players on the main roster for years to come once they get that promotion. I love that they didn't feel the need to go overly long and run a four-hour show just because the men's shows go 4 hours. It was a good, well-paced, well-worked show. So what's not to like? I mentioned that I call each event as I see it. Hey, it's no secret I disagree with WWE's decision to run in Saudi Arabia on Friday. As I always say, nothing against the folks who live in Saudi Arabia, the people of Saudi Arabia. It's just about the government and some of their recent actions. But now, having said that, I want to make it clear that once the show begins, I'm going to review this the same way I do any other show. Yeah, I'll chime in if WWE runs another propaganda video, and I'll be commenting on certain aspects of that nature, but when it comes to the matches and the overall event, it's business as usual. If it's a good show, I'm going to say it's a good show, regardless of the location and the politics. If it's a bad show, then it's a bad show regardless of the location and the politics. And if you're wondering, because I do get this, why am I covering this show rather than boycotting it or what have you? It's actually something John Canton and I discuss here in a little bit, but the simple answer is that I don't feel it's my place to boycott something. I cover this industry as a journalist, and so it's not my place just to go, nope, I'm not covering it. If others do, that's their choice, but that's just not how I was taught to do things, and we get into that during the show, so a little more on that coming up. A few business items before John and I get down to our business. Are you following me on Twitter? At Pro Wrestling Net is the place to go. At Pro Wrestling Net. Have you subscribed to our podcast? Do a search for Pro Wrestling Boom on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I know I like to listen on Downcast, but we're available on a number of different platforms. And I want to say thank you to those of you who have taken the time to rate and review us on iTunes. It is a huge help when you guys take a moment to do that. Look, this is a free show, folks. All I'm asking in return is that you go to iTunes, do a quick search for Pro Wrestling Boom, and show that five-star love. It only takes a moment, and it's a great way to show your appreciation for the Boom and to make sure it sticks around. Another way you can help us out is by becoming a member of the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, which comes complete with exclusive audio content, a decade worth of audio content, and new shows all the time. So before I bring in John, here's some more details about ProWrestling.net membership. If you enjoy the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast and pro wrestling audio content, then I know you're going to love becoming a member of the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. The members hear the weekly flagship .NET Weekly audio show with Jake Barnett and I discussing all the news of the week and sometimes including some first-run news items that have not been reported elsewhere. Members also have access to a decade of audio content with interviews and exclusive audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and the list goes on. They also hear our audio reviews of all the major WWE, Ring of Honor, and Impact Wrestling pay-per-views and NXT TakeOver specials. Plus, we're adding more New Japan Pro Wrestling audio content for their major shows. Help support ProWrestling.net and the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast by signing up today at PWMembership.net. Back on the Boom, and my guest today is John Canton of TJRWrestling.net. Is it .com or .net, John?
It's .net. I had a .com, and then I got screwed out of a deal I had with somebody, and then I had to do .net since 2015. So I joined you in the .net party.
There you go.
There we go. So, yeah.
And you also write for the comeback and awfulannouncing.com. Anywhere else you're writing for these days? You're all over the place, John.
I limited myself there. I post my stuff to Raja.com for 20 years almost, pretty much now. So I'm loyal to him. It's a good friend. So I still kind of contribute there. But yeah, everything's TJRWrestling.net. And then the comeback.com, I do like two or three exclusive articles there per week. So it's keeping me busy. And those are my main focus right now. I don't really have any other sites I plan on joining right now. If you want to add me, and you know, we could talk about that. But I'm just kidding. You know, it's a crazy time in wrestling. We were kind of talking about this off air that there's so much going on every single week. We just had a big show with Evolution. We got Crown Jewel coming up. There's Survivor Series barely been promoted. It's only 3 weeks away. It's like, it's crazy right now.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just looking at WWE. I mean, there's all these other things. I haven't had, I'm going to sound like I'm whining here, but I'm just like pointing it out. I haven't had like a regular 2-day weekend since like, I think mid-September. There's always a pay-per-view of some kind, whether it's NWA, Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory, or all the WWE events. It's just been crazy. And I think it's going to slow down a little bit post-Survivor Series as we get into the holidays, but it is a busy time in wrestling. By the way, people, you can follow John. He spells his name with an H. He's not a weirdo like Johnny Fairplay. So it's at John Report on Twitter, at John Report. Remember John with an H. Now, you and I have been corresponding going back to my Torch days, so I know you go way back, and I know you said 20 years. How old are you, John?
I'm 38, actually, on the 4th of November, so we're recording this on Halloween, and I don't like Halloween because when I was a kid, my parents would always give my Halloween candy to my friends on my birthday, so I would try to eat it within 3 days, you know? So Halloween was always a heel thing to me. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was fun growing up, I guess. But yeah, I'm 30. I'll be 38 in a couple of days from now. So there you go. Yeah, I've known you probably since early 2000s, I believe, back when my St. Louis Rams at that time were a good team. And then now they're 8-0. So there we go.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for the Vikings just to make a Super Bowl. It's happened once in my lifetime, but I'm too young to remember it. So yeah, I have a good feeling that you're going to see your Rams back there before I see my Vikings, but I hope I'm wrong about that.
But I mean, the Vikings could have made it last year, and I remember thinking they were going to beat Philly in that championship game. So, but you guys have had more heartache than any NFL team probably ever. So you know how it is.
Yeah, we waited to go to Philly and win this year when it didn't really matter. That was great. But you live in the Toronto area, and I want to give some people. Give people some background on you. So kind of tell me the story of how you got into pro wrestling to begin with. What kind of drew you in? What what companies did you watch? Who were your favorites? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I live in London, Ontario. It's about 2 hours west of Toronto, 2 hours east of Detroit. So I've been to a lot of shows in those two big markets, right? Because WWE's gone in those areas so many times over the years. And they always come here and give us house shows also. So it's pretty cool to live in this area. I grew up a Randy Savage fan around WrestleMania 4, I think, was one of my first memories. I have like 14 older cousins, and most of them are males. So, you know, I was 7, 8 years old. They said, come and watch wrestling with us. I said, all right. So Macho Man Randy Savage is my guy. He's the flamboyant outfit, the voice, the top rope elbow. You know, like, it was easy to be a Randy Savage fan. So been a fan of him ever since. He's my favorite guy as a kid. And then, you know, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. You know, as a Canadian, people always think you like Bret Hart more than Shawn. But I always like Shawn more than Bret. And then, you know, Stone Cold, Austin. The Rock, Kurt Angle, I've been a fan for my whole life. I never really stopped watching. The only time I stopped a little bit was a little bit after the Benoit thing in 2007, just because it was kind of tough to watch after that for a little bit, because I was a huge fan of his. Like, when he won the world title, it was a big deal, but, you know, that was the saddest thing in wrestling. But so then since 2009, I've been doing the full-time writing gig. Kind of quit the job that I had. I was sick of it. So I was around 28, 29 years old, and I just committed to full-time writing the Raw Deal Review for almost 10 years now, covering everything else in wrestling, you know, doing some part-time jobs here and there. But I started writing about wrestling on the internet about 99, 2000, something like that. So, yeah, it's been a lot of off and on in the 2000s as life was busy. You know, some years I didn't really write much at all, but in 2009 was really when Facebook was a big thing, and then it's like, okay, I could probably grow the brand from here, you know. So I think you had a similar path, right, as far as your site goes. I think you started the year before me, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah, 2000, it's been 10 years, so yeah, 2008, I believe, is when .NET launched.
Because the blogging thing changed at that point, right? Because it was more of the word blog was the thing, right? We didn't have that word in our lives before. And then, you know, with social media kicking off, is a way to promote things, right? It's a way to reach people and interact. And we were talking about that before, how back in the day we only had emails, and you were saying you were even before that. So it's kind of cool to see where the business of wrestling is, and the good things about it and the bad things about it, and just being able to reach people and be able to talk to a guy like you and be friends for, what, 20 years now. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I was telling you, I go back to when my Torch days, people would actually send in handwritten letters. People would, like, the voting for the awards and things like that were all, you'd have to compile them by hand. There wasn't online polls, or at least we didn't, you know, we weren't online at that point. So yeah, it's kind of crazy just how much things have evolved over the years. So you mentioned you kind of, I mean, take me through how you actually got started writing. Like, I went, you know, with Wade Keller at the Torch, and you, how did you kind of get your foot in the door and get started on your writing career?
I'm pretty sure the first time I read about wrestling on the internet was right after Survivor Series 97, which is Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, as everyone knows, the Montreal Screwjob, because I was in high school at the time, and I remember a friend saying, oh, I read about wrestling on the internet. I'm like, really? Because back then, internet was around 97, right? So back then, I think the internet was like, you'd pay like $40 a month and you get like 100 hours of dial-up internet service or something. Like, it was so expensive. You get those AOL free for a month things, then you use up those all the time, that kind of stuff. So it was so rare. And then it was just like, I was always a good writer in school. Like, I'd get A's in English. I'd take advanced English. I studied Shakespeare stuff because I was good at English. It was a good way to get marks and get into university and that kind of stuff, right? So, but I never went to journalism. I never did that. Like, if I could go back 20 years, I'd probably be a sports journalist and try to follow that. But I did business and followed that path and marketing and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so I started just when I was probably my last year of high school, first year of college, that kind of thing, just getting into I think it was a newsletter back then, and then there was like an online forum where I met some really good friends that I've been friends with for 20 years. So just kind of picked up from there.
Cool. And so kind of to bring us up to modern times, you've been watching and covering the business for a long time now. Where does WWE running this event in Saudi Arabia rate just in terms of their more controversial decisions over the years.
It's pretty surreal. Like we both get why they're doing it. They're getting, we don't know the exact money, right? They haven't really said, but the belief is they're getting about $40 million a year out of this deal with Saudi Arabia. We don't know for sure, or they don't have to report it, that kind of thing. But
they're not disputing it either.
Yeah, they're not disputing it either. So if you're getting $4 million, if you're saying here, Brock Lesnar, here's $2 million to wrestle one match, we don't know if that's a deal, but maybe that's what it is, right? So it's like, I get why they do it, but at the same time, their stock price was over 90 bucks. The company's value is worth over $7 billion a few months ago. Now it's down to like 60, right? So
as of today, it was back in the 70s earlier today.
Yeah. But when they made the deal, it wasn't that high, right? Because when they made the deal earlier in the year, it was only like 25. So it's been such a weird year. Like I was talking about this with a friend the other day. When you think about the TV deals they agreed to, and when was it, May or April? I didn't think the TV deals would be that big. Like, they're going to get $2 billion for TV. Like, their TV viewership numbers are down, right? So it's such a weird year. I can't really explain the 2018 to an average person how the wrestling business has been, because, you know, the TV metrics are all down. It seems like there's less interest in the product in some ways, but then in other ways it seems like there's more interest. So I don't really know how to explain it. And then the Crown Jewel event just, like, I'm going to cover it. I'm going to write about it, as are you, but it just feels like there's people that are so negative about it. I don't blame them. They're saying, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to spend on WWE Network anymore. And I don't blame anybody for doing that.
Yeah, you know, people, because I've had people kind of point out, like, they feel it's hypocritical of me to be critical of WWE's decision to hold this event in Saudi Arabia, but also cover the event. And you know, one person even, you know, it insinuated that I was doing it for the money, just like WWE is. And it's like, look, it's on a Friday afternoon. Trust me, there's not a lot of money being made on covering this event, for one thing. But I was brought, one of the things that I learned at the Torch, I still remember kind of being down on the idea of covering Ring of Honor after the whole incident with his name escapes, Rob Feinstein, and you know, what essentially became, it wasn't known as that at the time, I don't remember the name, but there was kind of a scandal that was similar to the Dateline NBC show with Chris Hansen when they were To Catch a Predator. It was like, before it was called To Catch a Predator, it was kind of the same outfit, and Rob was caught going to the door of, you know, what he believed was someone, an underage male, and I was just kind of grossed out by it, didn't want to cover ROH, and Wade made the great point that, you know, it's not really, it's not our place to make that determination. We cover the industry. And so kind of fast forward to where we are now, and, you know, that definitely comes into play here. And it's a no-brainer to me to cover the show, because I'm sure there, I mean, think of it this way. Look, we're just covering pro wrestling. I know some people are going to say it's just pro wrestling. I hold myself to a certain standard in terms of having, because if I don't, and if we don't, then, you know, I mean, then who's going to? So people can say what they want about it. It's only pro wrestling or whatever. But to me, it's a matter, it really comes down to, it's covering an event because a mainstream media outlet, a mainstream media member is going to cover all sorts of things that they don't agree with. And imagine where the media would be if people just stopped covering events that they didn't agree with, that they didn't like. It's just not good journalism, in my opinion. And so I kind of just, as kind of grossed out as I am by WWE holding this event there, given everything that happened with the Saudi journalist, I do feel a sense of obligation to cover this show.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a WWE pay-per-view event, so we're writing about the company on a regular basis, so we're going to write about this. So, like you said, I don't think a Friday afternoon show is going to get a lot of, as many page views, for example, as we're going to get when we write about a live pay-per-view on a Sunday or a Raw or whatever. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they're not going to watch, but they're going to read, you know, our reviews, get our take on it, that kind of stuff. Maybe they'll check out one match if they think that, you know, I rate it 4.5 stars out of 5. Yes, I use star ratings. But you know what I mean? Like, if they find out, like, Seth Rollins versus Kurt Angle happens, and it's a great match, for example, they might check that out, but they're not going to watch the show live because they don't want to support it in that way. You know, I think people are going to be selective about it. I ran a poll on Twitter a few days ago, and I said a simple yes or no poll. are you going to watch Crown Jewel, yes or no? And some people explain, like, I got work at that time, I'm going to watch it later, so that kind of stuff. But the no's won, 58% no, 42% yes, and that was almost 1,000 votes. So it just shows, like, I don't run that poll for regular pay-per-views because I assume most people following me are going to watch, you know, the regular pay-per-views. Probably 75% to 80% of people that follow me are probably going to watch wrestling shows. But, you know, other than my tweets about the Rams, I don't really tweet that much about other stuff. I tweet some jokes here and there, but stick to wrestling mainly. But, yeah, it's kind of a weird show to cover. But, like you said, I think we're – I don't know if obligated is the right word, but it just feels like we should cover it, and that's what we're going to do.
Hey gang, it takes a lot of time and effort to produce a show like this, and one way you can support ProWrestling.net is by becoming a member at PWMembership.net. However, there's also an easy and free way to do so. Think of us when you shop at Amazon by simply starting your Amazon shopping at ProWrestling.net/Amazon. You're not charged any extra, but we receive a small and very helpful commission on what you purchase. A big thanks to everyone who has helped out so far. Remember, that's ProWrestling.net/Amazon. So you're coming at it from, not that you speak for all of Canada, but just from the Canadian perspective, how do you feel just about the decision to go ahead and move forward with this event? If it were your call and you were in their shoes, what do you do? Do you move forward? No, and you have to take that obvious financial hit. But on the flip side, you're taking a massive PR hit, and we don't know where that's going to lead. I mean, you know, John Oliver is somebody who's been all over WWE for this, and there's been a lot of mainstream attention. So just your general thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Canada, the way that we view American news, like we view it like our news almost. Like I know more about American politics than Canadian because we don't have that much. Like we're 10 times smaller than you guys, right? So it's like, okay, we passed a law to legalize pot. That's cool, I guess. I'm not a smoker, but it's cool. I don't really mind it. But we hear about Trump stuff every single day. We hear about the journalist that died in Turkey at the consulate earlier this month. It was October 2nd. I believe it's October 31st. Some people are still talking about it every single day in the news almost, right? So it's a big news story, like a world story. And the fact that wrestling is involved, like if this show took place in January, maybe the whole thing would have died down, but it's happening within a month after that happened. So it's fresh in people's mind, and people are going to view the Saudi Arabian prince or whoever was involved in what happened, and he's involved in this WWE show. They're going to be like, how can you shake this man's hand when you know what might have happened? You know, like if you're Triple H, if you're Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, why are they wrestling on the show? And I think if WWE canceled the show, then I don't think a lot of fans would be mad about it, but I think WWE would have regretted it because the money that they're making, right? They're making more money off this show probably than WrestleMania when right. You think of the profits, right? Like that's what I've read, that's what I've heard. So like the profits, the money they're putting in their pocket, they're making more than WrestleMania. That's why they're doing it. If they were making only like $5 million, I doubt they would do it. But if they're making $40 million a year from this deal, then they're going to do it. So it's a big number, and that's why they're doing it. It's a business. It allows them to continue things like NXT, create NXT UK, which may not be profitable ventures. Now, how many wrestlers are under contract right now? Like 200, 250?
And they're adding. I just had somebody tell me yesterday that they were mentioning someone who they recently signed. It's like they are signing everyone.
It's hurt other companies too.
This person was surprised just by how many people they're signing. So they're still adding to that number. And you touched on something there that I think is worth pointing out, because just to kind of cover our own bases here. There's been some talk that this particular show is not as lucrative as the Greatest Royal Rumble was. But you nailed it when you said it's a 10-year deal. So they are thinking of how it affects them going forward as well, not just this one show. There's been, you know, people have said, well, they could get, if they have a contract, they could get tied up in court. I just can't imagine that would be an issue in the United, honestly. And like, what judge is going to look at that and go, oh, yeah, you should have followed through with this show. But you know, it's a business decision. It's not one, if I were, I mean, I'm not in their shoes, but I personally can say that I would not have done this. I would have found a way to postpone. I mean, eventually, you know, they're going back, but it's just such awful timing for them. But I mean, they are going forward with it. And now, John, they're doubling down. Doubling down is strong, but they are now officially advertising Hulk Hogan for this show. Your thoughts on that development?
Yeah, well, the stories as far as the prince or whatever in Saudi Arabia that ran the shows, or it's part of the general sports authority. He apparently is a fan of 90s wrestling, that kind of stuff. He wanted Yokozuna. He wanted all these guys, right. Ultimate Warrior, that aren't alive anymore. So he probably asked for Hulk Hogan, and WWE brought back Hogan a couple months ago. They quote-unquote reinstated him to their quote-unquote Hall of Fame. I say quote-unquote because it's not a real Hall of Fame, but like in the sense that, you know, it's not a physical Hall of Fame, which is something they say, right?
Well, anyway. It's not a physical Hall of Fame, and it's not something where, say, with the sports Hall of Fames, I believe all of them, certainly the main ones, are determined by journalists are the ones voting in most cases, where this is just Vince McMahon's whim.
Yeah, and my fake last name, Canton, is from the NFL Hall of Fame, for people that can't figure that out. But anyway,
I'm curious, before we get to that, why did you decide to go with the pen name?
Oh, my last name's Greek, and it's 12 letters, and it's very unique. And I always figured like if I wrote something like The Undertaker had a bad match or something, somebody's gonna send a death threat to my house. So you know what I mean. So you use a fake name, that kind of stuff. And my real last name starts with a C, so I always sign things as JC. So there you go. I had to pick a C. But anyway, the Hulk Hogan thing, like I'm not a huge Hogan fan. I think what the racist remark he made over a decade ago that caused him to be suspended from WWE for 3 years, like it was pretty bad. But at the same time, you know, he was in a private moment. He didn't know he was being recorded.
I'm sorry. That makes it worse. Just because you have the common sense to not go say those things when you're on camera.
Yeah, I'm not defending him.
I had to interject there.
I'm just saying, like, the fact that he was recorded for that whole thing, and then he made $30 million off of it because of the Gawker lawsuit, like, it's such a weird story.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, like, I guess, you know, there's forgiveness and all that, and some people will be happy to see Hogan, but I don't particularly care to see him.
From a company perspective, I mean, how do you view this? I mean, yeah, you mentioned the Saudis may want this, but if you're WWE, I mean, you would think that you hadn't advertised him. You'd think there'd be some, hey, guys, look, you know, with everything that's going on, there's already been enough. We don't feel like taking even more of a PR hit by bringing back Hulk Hogan at this time. You'd think that'd be something the Saudis would be like, okay, so be it. So why are they doing this? I mean, is it just, well, let's get all the bad publicity out of the way on one show, or is it just they feel that bold, that, look, we're making all this money and it doesn't matter. We're going to get away with it anyway. What's the difference? Just, keep them on the show.
Maybe they're going to fly the Daivaris over again and then say Iran's the best and Hogan will beat them up. I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly. I honestly wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, it didn't really work at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Like, it did kind of work as far as the pop, but it just was awkward. I don't know.
So I guess on the flip side, we know that John Cena and Daniel Bryan have opted out when it comes to working this show. Neither man, as of this update, has issued any kind of a statement on the matter.
And I don't expect them to.
Well, yeah, and with John Cena, you know, it's, I think we're all kind of hesitant to go, good for you, John Cena, because you don't know if it's a PR move from, you know, his, that's based more on his Hollywood aspirations than it is like a personal choice. Daniel Bryan, I think we more strongly suspect that this is Daniel Bryan reacting to what everything that's happened and just not wanting to do this show in good conscience. With Cena, again, it's the PR standpoint. But on the flip side, I will say, because people have said, well, he needs to offer an explanation on this. He doesn't. And the other thing to remember here is the Saudis just slaughtered a reporter, and I don't think they'd be so brazen as to do the same to John Cena. But if he, you know, I mean, if you're in his shoes, yes, you could make that statement. But I mean, even, you know, your own personal safety as somebody who travels the world and does that, I don't know that he wants to become, I don't know that he wants to speak out in a way that is going to, he's a company guy, so does it make WWE look bad if he addresses this? But also, Does it rock the boat with the Saudis? And then he's living in fear, whether it's founded or unfounded. So I'm not as down on him for not issuing a statement, even though I'm not ready to go, way to go, John Cena, as much as I think a lot of us, without knowing Daniel Bryan's reasons, are kind of looking at it going, yeah, good for him.
Yeah, and like the journalist was also American, right? He worked for the Washington Post. He lived in Virginia. I believe he has three kids that live in the U.S. or something like that, too. So
yeah, Saudi-born, but yet moved here, kind of in almost in exile, I think would be the right word.
Yeah, worked for the Washington Post. And so that's probably, you know, a big part of why it's a big deal. But I think with Brian, I mean, I'm already getting people questioning, like, do you think Brian's going to get punished for this? And I'm like, I don't think he's going to get punished for this, because I think – like when they do their tribute to the troop shows in the past, like they would fly to Iraq or Afghanistan, they would ask the talent if they wanted to go. And some people would say, no, I believe our RVD was one of the guys that didn't want to go. And there's certain other people. And I don't think they're punished for it. I think every time Brian loses a match from this point on, you or I or anybody that covers wrestling is like, is Brian getting punished because right. he didn't go to Saudi Arabia? Like, we're going to deal with that for the next 6 months, right? If he's in the Royal Rumble and he doesn't win, people are going to go, did he get punished for not going to Saudi Arabia? And, you know, I don't think he's going to get punished, because I think WWE is sensitive to the fact of what happened over there. And I think so if they probably went up to the guys and said, if you don't want to go, let us know. We'll like write you out. We'll do something. So that's how they wrote Samoa Joe in and did the Bryan Styles match last night, which was an incredible match. One of the best TV matches of the year, I thought. And like, let's just enjoy that they had a great match. That's what I say. And then let's focus on Friday when we get to Friday. But I think the whole thing's weird. I think with Cena, the thing about, do you remember Super Showdown? Like, he didn't take a bump in the match, right? Like, he's just stood on the apron for 8 minutes. Bobby Lashley got beat up. He got that hot tag and won.
Yeah, so six moves maybe of doom this time.
Yeah, I think Cena's still filming that movie in China, because he was doing interviews in New York and he's saying he had 2 more months left. So maybe they didn't want to take him a bump, right? But WWE was advertising this for like the last 3-4 weeks of Cena being there. So I don't really know what the story is, but maybe it's a case of him being sensitive as you know, a superhero to the world and that kind of stuff, and a movie star and that kind of stuff. And he didn't want to support Saudi Arabia because of what happened. But maybe there's something with the movie that he doesn't want to take bumps either. So I don't know.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware of them having, you know, they claim they're having open dialogue with talent. And my guess is if talent went to someone in management, you know, waited in line for Vince's office or spoke with someone else, and they made it clear they didn't want to do this, okay. But I don't know that there was like a locker room meeting held going, hey, let us know if you don't want to work this show. And so, I mean, I don't blame talent who are going. Some of the big paydays you can question, and people have kind of questioned, you know, Shawn Michaels is a Christian and he's taking this big payday. I don't really go there as much. I mean, yeah, I think he's obviously coming out of retirement for the huge payday. That part I think is undeniable, but I just tend to think that, especially with a lot of lower end talent in that company, they're not going to rock the boat, whether they feel comfortable about doing this or not. They don't want to risk any type of fallout. They don't want to have that reputation. And so, and with Daniel Bryan, I mean, there was nothing on Tuesday night that indicated that he was being punished. It was obviously a good, long, competitive match. Yes, he lost, but he may have done the same thing had he went to Saudi Arabia and ended up losing in the same fashion, for all we know.
And he and Styles lost the last 2 weeks to the Usos, too.
Right. So, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of your WWE formula setup, where they're accidentally, not accidentally hitting each other, that sort of a thing. But I do wonder, and I think this is, like, I don't know that they're going to overtly punish him. Like, he's going to start losing matches to Curt Hawkins. I think they would be way too aware that, yeah, we're going to catch hell if we do this. People love Daniel Bryan, and except for
when he's working AJ in Atlanta. They just gave him a new contract, too, so they're not going to punish the guy.
ProWrestling.net is the place to go for news and analysis, live television and major event reviews, opinion pieces, and so much more. If you want to keep up on the very latest in professional wrestling, then search no further than ProWrestling.net. But here's where it could come back. to work against him. I don't want to say haunt him, because I'm sure he, you know, he made a decision to take this approach, and I'm sure he'll live with the fallout. But if you are Vince McMahon, and you know you have a 10-year deal with the Saudis, and you don't know if Daniel Bryan wants to go back, another reason why we may not be getting a statement from Daniel Bryan is that he may end up going back there someday, and they don't want to rock that boat with the Saudis if he speaks out publicly against them right now, too. And so, but if you don't know, you know, does it stick in Vince's mind that, hey, you know, he could have been a team player? So I don't expect overt, you're going down to the undercard and you're putting everyone over type of punishment, but it could work against him long term, because this is going to stick in Vince McMahon's mind. So I don't, you know, again, not some strong, noticeable punishment, but does Vince think twice, maybe, John, about doing certain things with Daniel Bryan in the future because of this?
I think so. I think, like, maybe they were thinking, oh, we're going to do a WWE title push for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania next year. Like, maybe you do Bryan Styles one more time there, that kind of thing. And Bryan gets him this time. Like, he wins the Royal Rumble, and he faces AJ Styles at WrestleMania, and he wins. But maybe now they won't do it. You know, who knows? We don't know what the plans are exactly. And that's 6 months away, so, you know, there's a lot of things can change at that point. But you're right. Like, it could affect the future with Daniel Bryan. But I hope not. Like, I try to think in a positive way, and think that when you're paying Daniel Bryan as much as they are, I assume he's probably one of the highest paid guys in the company because he got a new deal. So he's got to be up there. And the fact that the company got all that TV money, they're probably giving people more money, I would assume, the ones at the top anyway, right? So if you're investing in a guy, it doesn't really make sense to not utilize him, but maybe he'll win the mid-card feud, because maybe he won't win that major title again. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. You never quite know, and we may never know what the fallout from this is. And
until he writes a book about it in 5 years, there you go.
Well, I mean, but from Vince's perspective, we may not know. You know, he may not share that with Daniel Bryan or anybody else.
You know what I was thinking when you mentioned the 10-year deal thing again? I was like, Vince is going to be like 83 at that point. Is he still like booking?
Probably. You know, the state of Raw, I don't wish any ill will on the man, obviously, but I would not be disappointed at all if he went off and played with the XFL for a while. I see what the booking is in NXT compared to what it is, especially on the Raw show. And, I mean, he's still Vince McMahon, and he can still do some good things. But, man, I mean, it's just how many people can we point to that have come up from NXT and were like, wow, this person can't miss? And they do.
Asuka, Bayley, there's so many. Asuka this year has been the most frustrating thing. But yeah, that's a whole topic you could do like for years, like what the next 10 years are going to be like in the company with Vince, because he's the one constant for the last 40 years, right? Like our whole lives, basically, he's been running the company. So what's going to happen next? Like, and then if Hunter gets full control, is he really going to have full control, or Vince go oversee it? Is Hunter's people, like, is Kevin Dunn going to get pushed out? He's got a lot of influence, right?
Right.
So we don't know what the next generation of wrestling is going to look like. That's kind of interesting in a lot of ways.
It will be an amazing story to follow when the time comes. You know, I mean, it sounds like it's Vince McMahon. At this point, it wouldn't shock me if the man lived forever. But
that's what I was going to say. We should point out, like, he's probably the healthiest 72-year-old in the world right now. So, like, I have an uncle that's, like, 82. He still works, like, 50 hours a week. And he's really healthy. Like, he's in incredible shape. I tell him, like, it's a restaurant where I'm Greek, like I said. He's like, if I stop, I'm just going to die, like, 3 months later because my body will shut down. I'm like, it's not going to happen. But he thinks that way, right? So some people are just wired that way. Me, like, if I have enough money saved, I'm done at 55. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, Vince has said he'll die in the chair. So, we can't, you know, we don't know that this day will come, but you would think sooner or later there's going to be a transition at some point. But Vince has put a lot of things in his body over the years. I mean, who knows if it's going to, you know, lead to a premature death or keep him alive forever. It's kind of uncharted territory, John.
Never failed the drug test. I'm just kidding. He's never taken one, I'm sure.
Another part of this, Ryan Satin at Pro Wrestling Sheet reported that Renee Young is expected to be part of the broadcast team for Saudi Arabia. The story indicated that WWE has been working on this since Renee became part of the Raw broadcast team. Yeah. I can't help but wonder, nothing against Ryan, but I can't help but wonder if WWE wants that part of it out there. And this is actually a concession on, you know, from the Saudis. And if you're the Saudis, if both sides, you want to present like, yeah, this is all about change and things are getting better. Now, I did reach out to WWE for comment on that, just to see if she's going to be on the show, be in Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's been suspicion that they may have the broadcast team. You know, she could do her end of things in Stamford, Connecticut at the studio or something like that. But no official confirmation from WWE, no denial either. So we'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah, how do you view that? If she goes, is this... I mean, you would think they're going to frame it as the people who are defending WWE, and I think in most cases it's just people who really want to watch their wrestling and don't care. They don't want to hear about politics. They just want to watch wrestling. So they're going to, or they're rah-rah WWE. They can do no wrong. But in with this, I think they're going to latch onto it going, see, progress has been made.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, though. Like, it is progress. It is encouraging that they're open to having Renee call the matches or whatever. I don't know if she has to dress in certain gear. She probably has to cover up, you know, so that no skin showing. You can't wear a t-shirt, maybe. But I've known her for probably 10 years before she was in WWE. Like, she was on TV here in Canada on The Score, mm-hmm. which became Sportsnet 360, which has aired WWE on Raw and SmackDown on in Canada for like probably 10 years or whatever. So she was on a show with Jimmy Corderas, who I also know really well. And Ardo Cal, who was in WWE as Kyle Edwards, and Mauro Ranallo was on it at that point too. So they would have this show, and I would send emails or whatever. They, like, you know, since I got to know Jimmy a little bit, they were like, oh, send emails of questions and that kind of stuff. So I got to correspond with her and stuff. We've hung out a few times several years ago. So on Twitter, we'll message once in a while, like direct message, that kind of stuff. And like when she got the commentary gig, like I'll message her once a month, maybe, that kind of thing. And I haven't asked her this, but I believe it's true. Like, she hasn't denied it. The company hasn't denied it. So I think they're probably going to announce it today. Like, we're recording this on a Wednesday. So they'll probably announce it today or tomorrow, I assume. And then that way they can kind of, you know, pat themselves on the back. Stephanie McMahon can tweet, progress has been made, making history or whatever, right? You know, Stephanie McMahon, she's a robot that says making history on a daily basis pretty much at this point. So I think they'll probably want to make a formal announcement. And whether Ryan Satin, you know, announced it too early for WWE's liking, I don't know, but probably they wanted to do it themselves. But, you know, sometimes stuff gets out. So I think it's true, and I think it's good progress, and I'm happy for her. And it'd be nice, like, if Stephanie was on the show too. Like, I have no idea if she's going. I don't think she needs to be on the show, but if she was, then that, you know, it's more progress and that kind of thing. And maybe in 2 years we'll see Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch in a match there. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it on the surface, yes, progress. But again, it's why that progress was made. Is this just
throwing a bone to WWE, right?
Well, yeah, even the Saudis realizing that, hey, we need to show that there's progress being made in this area too. But yeah, it could certainly be that, with WWE kind of negotiating that, look, we need to show that, you know, things are getting better here. We aired your propaganda video, and we need some indication that things are improving. And who knows? Again, that's the part. Ryan's report indicated that the talk started before everything happened with the journalists, but did it? You know, and again, I'm not questioning Ryan's reporting. He may have been, I'm sure he was told that. I can't help but wonder if that's a version, you know, part of that story that they want out there, when in reality it's something that, you know, that's been part of the more recent discussions between the two. Maybe not, but it's hard not to, you know, just kind of analyze every bit of information like that. We'll see if she goes. We'll see, you know, just how that's handled. I'm very curious to see if she does. There's part of me that if I'm in her shoes, do I want to go? I mean, it's historic to be that person, but being
her
a woman,
husband's not even going.
Well, that we know of. I mean, you know, I do wonder if he's going to interfere in Seth's match or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. They might fly him all the way across the world just to interfere in a match, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's weird that Dean's not a part of it and she is.
Yeah. And we'll wait to see the developments on that. Now, we've kind of covered a lot of the political end of this, and I know there's people out there going, leave politics out of wrestling. We'll leave politics out of wrestling when wrestling stops making political headlines. I can't emphasize that enough. Believe it's not like I just start picking random spots to incorporate my political viewpoints in a random wrestling show. But I mean, it's impossible to cover this story without there being, it's a political story. I'm sorry, folks. So
I've probably done more like updates on this show than any show other than like WrestleMania in the year. You know what I mean? Like in terms of this might happen, this is a rumor. There's just so many things that have been coming out, like from the senators talking about how WWE should cancel it or think about it a few weeks ago, to the Cena rumor, the Bryan rumor, all this, the match changes all the time. Like it's crazy.
It is, yeah. And you have to cover every angle of it, even if, hey, for people that are sick of it and just don't want to hear about it, I can sympathize to a point, but we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't cover every angle of it. So I just wanted to make that statement. But kind of putting it aside for now, obviously put in a horrible position, the Roman Reigns deal with him battling leukemia, having to step aside is awful. But they then were put in this position of having to come up with a way to determine the new Universal Champion. They're going with Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar on Friday to determine who the new champion is going to be. Do you like that decision? Do you? And I guess, obviously, who do you think they will end up choosing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the time is right for Braun Strowman to be the Universal Champion. It's been, 2 years? I think July 2016 was when the draft was, right? So they spent that first year basically having him beat, you know, jobbers every week and Sami Zayn and a few other people. And then he faced Roman Reigns every week, it seemed like. And then, you know, they built him up last year. I think SummerSlam was when he really, turned face and that kind of thing. He had that No Mercy match with Brock Lesnar and lost, and that kind of hurt his momentum a bit, but he hasn't really lost many matches in the last 2 years, right? Maybe a couple times to Roman, once to Brock, that kind of thing. So Strowman's been built up, but it's like, is that the best place for him to win the title for the first time? You know, like, it just, I don't know if that crowd's going to be hot. You know, like, is that crowd going to be loud for Braun Strowman? I don't really remember at Greatest Royal Rumble if they popped big for Strowman. Like, I'll have to watch it again if I have time, but It's just not as big as if it was like, say, New York or Chicago or LA or Toronto. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, they were, I mean, it was a crowd, if I remember, it was kind of a crowd that just went along with what WWE wanted, you know, for the most part. It wasn't like they were booing Roman Reigns. They just kind of, if somebody was definitively positioned as a babyface, the crowd went along with that.
Yeah.
At the same time, Brock Lesnar's a star, you know, and so it wasn't like they were booing Brock Lesnar either, if memory serves.
Like, I strongly think Brock's going to be training for his UFC fight. They haven't announced the fight, but probably February or March, right? So this is the end of October, so he's going to need November, December to train. He's probably down in weight because of that already, right? So, like, there's no reason for Brock to win. I don't see why you'd have Brock win here unless he's going to drop it at the Royal Rumble. But what's the point of that? So I think Strowman should. It makes a, you know, it's a happy moment for the fans, that kind of thing. And if Strowman doesn't win, I'll be very surprised.
I can make a case for someone else winning. I can't say either one of these guys winning right now does a ton for me. Some of it is, with Lesnar, it's kind of been there, done that. You just spent a ton of time telling people that he's the bad guy. He works a part-time schedule and we're moving on from that. So Strowman makes more sense in that way. But Strowman was just a heel. He just flipped back babyface. I thought it was a poor decision to turn him heel. Now he's back. And the fans were responsive on Monday. That was encouraging because I was wondering, like, is it going to be awkward with fans going, do we cheer this guy or not? And they were behind him. They were chanting his catchphrase and all of that. So that's encouraging. There's just part of me going, I really don't want to see either one of these guys with a championship. I'd love to see them shake things up. And you know, I was hoping somehow, some way, they were going to add, say, Drew McIntyre to this match. Now, that didn't happen. I mean, it's wrestling. God knows if they wanted to on Friday, they could. They could come up with some weird scenario that they do. But I don't expect them to. But if Lesnar wins, I would prefer to see Drew McIntyre. I would have loved to have seen Drew McIntyre win it as a babyface. They're not going in that direction. So I'm with you in assuming Strowman goes over. Is that, I mean, in the poll, Heyman's guaranteed it. And yeah, all the references to Brock bringing the WWE Universal Championship to the Octagon with him. I mean, I kind of look at that as they're trying to make their best case to steer you in the other direction. But yeah. I mean, is there something to be said for that, John? Where, I mean, forget what we would do. Does Vince McMahon find that appealing that Brock brings his title to the Octagon? And also, okay, so, you know, we know from history that Vince doesn't seem to give a damn if Brock Lesnar doesn't work for months at a time. So, you know, take that out of the equation even.
Yeah, and like the house show business doesn't matter as much as it used to, right? Because they already got the TV money. So it doesn't matter if the champion's not on the house shows, right? Because they're still going to get their 3,000 fans. It's not 10,000 anymore. Like,
but they're reimagining house shows.
Yeah, I remember 20 years ago going to Steve Austin and the Rock years, it was 20,000 every night, right? Like, now they can't even get 10 probably at a house show, but unless it's a really big market. But anyway, like, the only thing I can compare it to is WrestleMania this year, because I would have said at that point, I'm like, guaranteed Roman Reigns is going to win. There's no reason to have Lesnar win. And Lesnar won, and the crowd shit all over the match. And then at SummerSlam, they did the thing where Strowman was going to tease Money in the Bank, so then he kept the crowd from shitting all over the match. And then when Roman run, you know, it was what we expected. But yeah, I just like what you said is possible. Like, they could put on Brock and have him go to UFC in February or March, put the WWE Championship on his shoulder, that kind of thing, the Universal Championship. But I mean, I wouldn't do that. I think they're just saying it to put it in people's mind that it might happen again with Lesnar winning, but I just don't think it's a smart move. I think Lesnar will work this match. He'll probably fight in UFC in February or March, and he'll probably do something in WrestleMania and get a big payday for that. So I don't know who the opponent will be at WrestleMania, but somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now on the flip side, on the SmackDown side, obviously Daniel Bryan out, Samoa Joe reinserted. I thought that went really well because I didn't think they got as much out of the Joe and Styles feud as they could have when they made the decision that Joe wasn't winning the championship. And they went with Styles, was like, okay, I thought Joe was going to get a title reign there and you could keep it going with some rematches before you move on. So when they go back to it here, I didn't have that feeling that I would have had. Like, this happened right after the AJ Shinsuke final match. It was like, all right, as much as I look forward to this feud, it's been a letdown. I don't want to see them go back to this. I'm fine with AJ and Samoa Joe. But the question is there, do you think there's a chance that Joe wins? I mean, we know this wasn't the original plan, obviously, but Vince has been known to have some whims, and do you think there's any chance at all that Samoa Joe leaves Friday as the new champion?
First, I just want to say that Bryan Styles match was probably one of the five best matches on TV this year. I don't have them ranked in my head or anything like that. Yeah. It's hard to remember everything, but it was amazing. I gave it 4.25 stars out of 5. I use the star rating system. I know some people don't like it, but in other words, that means it was excellent, terrific, whatever. So I know you liked it too. I read your review. So it was, you know, 22 minutes of mat wrestling by two of the best guys of our generation, right? So, you know, thank you. That's what I said to WWE. Thank you for that match because it was great. So as for title change, like this title change, I don't know about you, but I predicted AJ to lose to Nakamura at one point. I predicted him to lose at Joe at one point. So I don't know how long it's going to last. I think it's unlikely that he's going to lose the title. I think they want to have him hold it for a year, which will be November 7th. So that's a week from now when he won it for Jinder Mahal. Whether he holds it to WrestleMania time or whether, you know, he loses at the Rumble, I don't really know what the plan is. I don't know who would be. Like, I think that it'd be a cool story if the Miz won, then Bryan won the Rumble, then Bryan beat Miz for the title. But I don't know if that's going to happen because Bryan's Saudi Arabia thing. Maybe he's not going to get pushed. Maybe they want to keep the title on AJ for WrestleMania and have him face somebody else. I don't really know. So it's hard to predict. Like, it's weird that they booked so many long title reigns in the last couple of years. Like, the Lesnar one lasted over a year. And then this AJ one's lasting a year. Like, I don't remember that ever happening before where they've had so many long title reigns.
Not the New Day had times. I mean, it used to be, you know, back in the old days.
Yeah, the New Day had that, like, 450 days. Nikki Bella had a year or whatever it was. So there's been a lot of them the last few years.
Well, I mean, this, because I know there's going to be some people thinking it. Do you think, I don't even know where things stand. I pay so little attention to this, but I know it always comes up. Does CM Punk's title reign have anything to do with AJ's long reign?
Yeah. That's what people say. Like, is he going to get more than 434 days? Like, I remember that number because I wrote it so many times. I'm sure you did too. We remember the number because they said it all the time. And it's not a record. I know people say, oh, CM Punk's record. Well, it's not a record. It was a number of days. It wasn't a record. It's not like first, but it's the record of the last 20 years or whatever it's been. So I think AJ might beat it. Like, I had people saying to me, well, in the summer, they were like, well, AJ's on the cover of the video game, so it makes sense to keep the title on him. But it's like, is it really going to boost sales of the video game if he loses the title? Like, I don't think it matters that much. So I was like, okay, well, now the video game's out. So is he going to hold it for another 3 months or 6 months to WrestleMania and have whatever? What would it be, like 650 days or something as champion? So 550 days, whatever it'd be. So maybe that's going to happen. Maybe he's going to beat the CM Punk number.
I really enjoy AJ's work and everything. I'm a fan of his work.
It's kind of boring a little bit right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of ready for a change. I was ready, like you, I was calling for it with Nakamura.
I thought Joe should have won.
Yeah, I certainly thought Joe, and I still think Joe, but I'm guessing they're going to want all eyes on the Universal Championship, and I just don't know that they'll do it here. I hope they do, but I'm not holding my breath.
It's like with Evolution. Like, I thought I thought maybe Baszler was going to win because they wanted to do one title change. And I think with Crown Jewel, they want to have a title change. But since it's a vacant title, that you're already going to have the one big title celebration with Strowman, I assume. So I don't think you need to do the Joe's going to win.
Did Shane McMahon's weird, I'm going to fire a SmackDown wrestler if they lose to a Raw wrestler in the finals, does that pretty much guarantee a SmackDown wrestler wins?
I think it guarantees they lose.
Who do you think is going to be fired then?
I think they're figuring out the roster on Raw, because think of the Raw changes, right? Because Roman Reigns is gone. Kevin Owens is on the show for, 6 months or whatever it is with double knee surgery. Strowman just turned face. Elias just turned face. So they're probably looking at the Raw roster saying, well, we're off balance in some way. So I don't know if it's Miz or Orton that's going to go, or Ray or Jeff Hardy. So I think SmackDown's going to lose somebody, though.
Man, if they do, I mean, Shane's going to, you can get away with it if it's Miz and even Orton because they're heels, but Shane just looks like a dick. The character, yeah. I mean, I'm doing this because my sister would have bragging rights. That's ridiculous.
It was probably the creative team figuring it out after Raw on Monday, right? And they were just like, oh, our roster's off balance. We need one more face or one more heel. I don't really know what it is, but I think somebody's going to be moving. And the thing that came to mind also is The Miz, right? Because he's got the reality show. When's the next season starting next year, like March or April, right? Since Fox is getting SmackDown, it doesn't make sense that he's going to be on SmackDown. USA Network wants him on their show, which is Raw,
you
right?
Know, but I think you can rush that.
You can move him around WrestleMania too.
Well, I do wonder if they're going to release that sooner because of SmackDown moving to Fox, and it will just kind of stay where it is. And even if like it is going to be on that schedule or it comes out later, I don't know that they'd want it out of primetime to air right after Raw.
That's true. But I'm saying you want Miz on a USA Network show and SmackDown's moving, but that's a year from now. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm thinking too far ahead. But I think Miz feuding with AJ Styles would be kind of cool as the next feud for AJ Styles. I like Miz a lot. So I think AJ feuding with Miz or Randy Orton makes sense because he hasn't feuded with either of them before.
So. Yeah, I do lean the other way on this. We'll see. You may absolutely be right. I just wonder if they kind of tipped it. It's going to be a Raw wrestler winning, and Shane doesn't follow, or a SmackDown wrestler winning, so Shane doesn't have to follow through.
I've been thinking about it since Shane had that promo since last night, and I was just like, I don't know who it's going to be, because I'm like, is it going to be Ray or Jeff?
It can't be babyface, can it?
It might be, because they might feel that they have too many faces on SmackDown and they might need one more on Raw, because Roman Reigns is gone, right?
I mean, you almost have to flip Shane at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if this is a Shane heel turn, okay. You know, he's getting obsessed with power and making an a-hole move because he doesn't want his sister to have bragging rights. I can see, you know, then I could see it. But Shane, if he's going to continue to be the nice guy commissioner, he can't fire lovable Rey Mysterio or the very popular Jeff Hardy. That would be a very strange move.
I think the creative team just figured it out last night, and they haven't thought about the repercussions. I think they figured it out when they looked at the Raw roster with Roman Reigns gone and Strowman and Elias' faces now. Maybe they feel they need Jeff or Rey to help the house shows or the regular shows. I know Ray's not working as many house shows, but you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that's what they announced it.
Now they're billing this.
You could be right. A SmackDown guy could win.
Well, they're billing this as the tournament is going to determine the best in the world, which it's like, You have title belts for that. And obviously the fans came up with the obvious CM Punk chant, which Shane, you know, quickly shot down last week.
Yeah.
Any chance there's another guy who likes to say he's the best in the world at what he does? Could this be a setup for Chris Jericho returning to go after the winner?
Yeah, I guess, but he's holding a title in New Japan right now, so it probably seems difficult and unlikely. I don't know. I guess it's possible.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. Long shot chance.
I'm surprised they didn't call it King of the Ring. Like, why? Like
the greatest King of the Ring.
Yeah, I saw like World Cup is like a shot at Qatar because they got the World Cup in 2020. I don't even know if that's true, but who knows? There's all these rumors.
It's the World Cup with nothing but American-born wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly. Which is hilarious because you got Finn Balor, you got Cesaro, you got Rusev, you got all these guys that could have made it more World Cup-ish. But
yeah, I thought that would have been cool to kind of have a representative of the various countries, but they went a different direction with it.
Like I think they could use this to elevate The Miz, because if he's going to get the title shot next, you have him win. And then I'm picking Miz or Rollins. I can't decide, though.
Now, an early preview for .NET members. One of the things Jake Barnett and I are going to be talking about on the .NET Weekly Audio Show on Thursday is the potential of WWE choosing a new face of the company. You know, we don't know what's going on with Roman Reigns long term. Hopefully he's going to be back and everything's going to be fine. But let's face it, you know, with this situation, there's no guarantees, and they may be forced into doing that. And so Jake and I will spend some time talking about that. I want to know, from your perspective, like, not just who you think they'll go with, but also, and maybe it's the same, but who would you go with if you were in that position? And, you know, I've already said I'm somebody that thinks that the need for a face of the company is overblown. But it's what Vince McMahon has always done. I think you have a great ensemble cast, and that's enough. You don't shoehorn somebody in there. But knowing Vince, if push comes to shove, and he feels like if he's not getting Reigns back anytime soon, he's going to find one. So, again, who do you think it is, and who would you go with?
Yeah, I agree with you that it's a group effort. Like, we don't know the future of Roman Reigns, but say if he's back in a year, 6 months, 8 months, then he's going to be more popular than ever. People are going to be like, want to support this guy. Like, people are chanting, thank you, Roman. I'm sure the people that think Roman's overpushed will probably still find a way to complain about him, even though he's overcoming leukemia again. Hopefully, you know, we all hope that happens. But I think it's going to be like a team effort. Like you said, like, you got Seth Rollins, you got Braun Strowman. I think Seth Rollins is a really impressive talent. But I don't know if he's necessarily got the personality to be that over-the-top next John Cena kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's really good, like, in the ring. We know that. I think he's arguably the wrestler of the year in the company this year in terms of quality matches, like, unless you count the NXT guys. But they don't have as many matches, right, on television. So I don't really know how to decide that when I do my awards column later in the year. But I think
Seth's incredible. Oh, no, that's coming. It's always a...
Yeah, but
it's fun work, but it's a lot of work.
You could say Johnny Gargano or Ciampa, right? But then you could say they've only probably had 10 matches on TV, whereas I've seen Seth Rollins in probably 40 matches on TV, or even by the end of the year, right? So anyway, I think Seth's really outstanding, and he's the guy that I'd probably point to. I think Drew McIntyre, maybe, but he's not American. And I know people might think I'm joking when I say that, but how many British or UK champions has there been in WWE history? The answer is zero, right? So Vince McMahon probably thinks, oh, I need an American because 70% of my audience is American, or 65, whatever it is. And so that's kind of what they look for. They want to see, you know, the Hogan, Cena, Rock, Austin type, right? So I think Seth Rollins might be that guy. But like you said, I think more of a team thing, because AJ Styles is like 41 years old. Can't really invest in him for the next 5 years because he might be done in 5 years.
And he's also, he could be headlining, you know, the crown jewel part 20, you know, in 20 years from now.
Yeah, exactly. Because when he's 55, he'll be in great shape like Shawn Michaels. So yeah, but he's also only 5'9", right? So Rollins is at least like 6'2" or 6'3", whatever he is. He's a good sized guy. So I think Rollins is who I'd lean to, but Strowman's even like 35 already. So like, Strowman is the guy that's probably gonna be like Big Show and Kane, where he turns like 50 times in his career. Those guys literally turn like 20 times in their career. So I think Strom is going to turn every 6 months, to be honest. But
and I will certainly address that with Jake. Remember, folks, it's pwmembership.net if you want to hear the .NET Weekly audio show. Jake and I get together every week, discuss all the news of the week, and a lot of times include some first-run news items as well. But wanted to sneak in a cheap plug there. I honestly didn't do this on purpose. I forgot to put it on the list, but I think it's really telling. John, Shawn Michaels is returning to the ring on Friday, 2 days from now, as you and I record this, and I forgot to put it on the list. And I'm not even kicking myself like, oh, how could I forget this? It's because they have done a miserable job with this. It's not about Shawn Michaels after 8.5 years getting back in the ring and what a great moment this is going to be. It's about the dad version of DX facing Undertaker and Kane. I'm just not into this. And it pains me to say it because I've enjoyed Shawn Michaels' career. Like, I go way back to the AWA with him. It just pains me that this is what we're getting. Like, there wasn't even a big announcement. It was just everything about this has been like, wow, this is what you're doing for the return of Shawn Michaels?
I agree with you. Like, Shawn's my favorite wrestler ever. I wrote when he retired, the next day I wrote an article about him, like 8,000 words. It's probably my favorite article I've ever written. Just search John Kent and Shawn Michaels, it'll probably come up. It got a lot of feedback and that kind of stuff. And people related to him. And then here we are 8 years later and he's coming back to the ring. Like, we all watched him grow up in the business, right? We watched him as a rocker, to the Heartbreak Kid as a solo act, to the baby face that, lived his boyhood dream, that kind of thing. Then the DX thing, then he had to retire for 4 years. And at SummerSlam 2002, I never thought he'd wrestle again. Like, I thought he was done. He was only like 35 at that point, 33 or something. But here he was back again, and he was... Actually, no, he was like 37, sorry. He was born in 65, so I'm just doing the math in my head. But anyway, the fact that he's back again, just the Super Showdown match, like the main event with Triple H, Taker, it was too long. Like, I don't know what the hell they're thinking going 25 minutes at, 53-year-old Taker, 49-year-old Triple H. And Hunter was great at WrestleMania. We got to give him credit for that. Like, with Stephanie against Ronda and Kurt, that match was a lot of fun. I love that match.
Absolutely.
But this match with Undertaker at Super Showdown was just like slow motion from their WrestleMania 28 match, which I was at in person in 2002 in Miami. And that was an incredible match at Hell in a Cell. I loved it. But then this match just felt like it just didn't feel good. Like, it just didn't feel fun watching it. Like, I was like, okay, they're still going. Like, and they had Dana Bryan and Miz go 2 minutes because they had to give 35 minutes for this match, including all the intros and post-match, right? So I just felt like it's nice that Hunter married well and he's got the power to do this, right? But I just didn't feel like it was a good match. So my anticipation for this is not where it is because, the build on Raw was just one super kick and he ran away. Like, that's it. Like, that's supposed to get me excited. Just didn't feel that interesting to me. I'm not that pumped for the match, but I'm sure by the time the match starts, I'm going to be excited because it's Shawn Michaels. And after the match is going to be over, I'm going to be like, well, that was better than I thought. And then I'll be like, well, that's not surprising because it's Shawn Michaels. He's the best ever, arguably, in the ring. So
I know that in the 10 years that I've been doing .NET, I've been, and probably going back before that, look, WWE needs to quit relying on the Attitude Era stars. They need to move forward. They need to showcase today's stars. CM Punk made a huge fuss over that during his time in WWE. And yet here we are, approaching 2019, and it's Undertaker and Kane against DX. I mean, with this Saudi money coming in, I think Taker was probably really done when he left us, everything in the ring. The intention, or certainly the strong possibility, was there. I just think these guys keep coming back for the big payday, obviously. And I don't know when it ends, John. And I can't blame them for, putting the politics aside. It's huge money. That's their choice. But at what point does WWE, Vince McMahon and company, go, we need to focus the spotlight on today's talent? These guys can work these shows if that's what the Saudis want, we'll put them there. But I mean, they have dominated everything, and they're telling us it's because they're that much better and all of this. they're not giving the same opportunity. They don't spotlight their full-time talent in the same fashion. And I just can't believe this is still an issue heading into 2019.
And the weird thing is, it's a great point, and I agree with you. And the weird thing is, Hunter, at 49 years old, he's the one that's, you know, grooming all the talent. He's the ones that's booking everyone in NXT, right? So all the NXT talent there now, all the ones that have been there in the last 5 years that are on the main roster, you would think he would say, I got to step aside so these guys get time. But he's not. He's the one that in these matches. So is it him or is it Vince? We don't really know. I think it's probably more Vince. It's probably Vince saying, these are my guys. I love these guys. They're my friends. They're like my sons, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it's Vince relying on it and Vince saying, you know, well, the current guys aren't really drawing much of a house. They're not drawing big ratings. So we might as well bring back the fans so that the average 45-year-old, 50-year-old that's watching WWE has somebody they can watch that they grew up with, you know? And I don't think the 10-year-old kid really cares about The Undertaker wrestling again, you know what I mean? But they're trying to appeal to the bigger audience, I guess, and casual fans. And we're going to see this happen. Yeah, the Saudi casual fans. And we're going to have to see this happen for, who knows, like you said, with AJ Styles, maybe in 15 years he's wrestling in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's pleasing the Saudi casual fans as much as the people putting up the money for this show. This is who they want to see, and so they're giving it to them.
He's like a prince in his mid-30s or something,
But it doesn't mean they need to, you know, be front and center and be in the position to steal your main television shows and be propped up on pedestals so much higher than today's stars. That's where the frustration comes from, and I think it really hurts WWE in a way. But John, we've talked a lot about this Crown Jewel event. You and I will both be covering the show, but tell people again about where they can find your work, how they can follow you on Twitter, anything else you want to plug, John.
All right. Well, TJWrestling.net's the website. That's where I write about Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views, news stories. I write, you know, whenever there's relevant news. I don't really write rumors that much. I know you're the same way as me, like, in that way. Like you can't, like, believe every rumor. Like, the one about the guy that said Chris Jericho and Jim Ross are going to start a promotion, which was, you know, BS or whatever.
Oh, wait a minute there, John. We need to talk a little bit more about this then. But you go ahead. We'll you finish up the plug, and we'll talk about that.
All right. Well, I don't believe it. But anyway, at John Report on Twitter. Another thing I'm writing about on my site, because I'm trying to, you know, people like retro stuff, so I do retro pay-per-views. So I'm going through pay-per-views through the 2000s. I'm already up to 2006. And I started doing every Raw and SmackDown from the year 2000, which is my favorite year. You probably remember the year well. It was, you know, one of the best years in the history of the company. So I'm doing every Raw and SmackDown. What's interesting about those shows is, like, on a two-hour Raw, they'll have, like, 10 matches, and none of them will go over 7 minutes. And it's such a blitz. There's no chin locks in any matches. It's just like a sprint every match, and they go to the finish. And it was right after the Russo left, and it was the year that they probably had the best year of pay-per-views in the history of the company, my favorite year in the history of the company. So it's kind of fun to do that. So I do two of those posts a week, then the monthly pay-per-views when they come up. So there's a lot of writing, but having a lot of fun with it and still going strong.
Now, all right, I got to say, I've been working on that story for over... It was SE Scoops that actually put it out there.
Yeah.
Credit to them. I've been working on that story going back to early September. I reached out to Tony Khan, who is the son of the Jacksonville Jaguars owner, Shad Khan. They also own a soccer team in the Premier League. And there have been tons of rumblings from people that he has had conversations with Kenny Omega, Cody, the Young Bucks, Adam Page, Chris Jericho, Jim Ross, Barry Bloom, and others about doing something. It's certainly the possibility of a startup. There's been talk that it's merely funding the future All In shows, providing an infrastructure and things of that nature. I reached out to Tony Khan. I had it in the story, I believe, on September 12th. I followed him on Twitter. He immediately followed me back. And I asked him, you know, any truth to these rumors that you're getting into the pro wrestling industry? And he chose not to respond. But the point is that I don't think it's been reported that this is happening. What's been reported is that there have been discussions, and clearly there have been discussions. So I had to set the record straight on that one, John.
Okay, I believe you then. Like, I trust you, obviously. I'm just saying, like, you know, every rumor and stuff that exists in wrestling, there's a lot of crazy shit, so that's all.
And I'll add one more to that. I was on Jim Ross's podcast shortly before then. And Jim was talking on that podcast about there being, you know, someone's going to step up. There's going to be a new player in the game. I don't remember his exact lingo. Yeah. And I was wondering, like, I think I know what he's talking about. And since then, you know, on the cruise, it's worth noting that, you know, hey, Cody is not re-signing with ROH. He said that. Things can change. There's talk that, you know, there's issues with the Bucks in New Japan. So if it's not WWE for some of these folks, where is it? And doesn't mean they can't. It has to be with Tony Khan. They could do their own thing. But look, there's, I know Chris Jericho denied that he's starting his own wrestling company. No one reported he's starting his own wrestling company. That's Jericho being creative with the lingo. And if you look at Jericho's Instagram page, you'll find a picture of Jericho and Tony Khan.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, there could be truth to it then. You're right. There could be smoke to the fire. I was just mentioning rumors in general. I don't know if that one wasn't true or not. So, but I believe you that there's, you know, there could be something. And I think it's a good time for something like that to happen, to be honest, like in the wrestling business. Just the way that fans, I think a lot of fans, like look at the Jericho Cruise, like it looked really successful. He sold out. And a lot of people had fun. Like I see people all over my Twitter and Facebook saying, you know, how much fun it was. So, I mean, there's a lot of passion for the business. Look at All In, how successful it was.
Yeah.
And how New Japan has grown in the U.S. Like, there's a lot of passion for wrestling right now. So I think because people can watch it anytime on YouTube or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you can put something on YouTube and get 20,000 views. Hey, that's not bad.
And keep in mind, you know, hey, these guys could be using this as leverage. It could lead to something. It could lead to nothing. But yeah, again, I mean, there's clearly been things have been discussed. We don't know exactly what, but when you start talking about Jim Ross, Barry Bloom, Cody, I mean, there's some big names involved in this. And I think it all comes down to most
TV
likely, if they can get television and, you know,
look at Mark Cuban and Access, that, like, cause Mark Cuban's been very outspoken saying he wants to grow New Japan on Access, but he could also get another company and put it on Access. And, you know, that would really help. So who knows?
Yeah. And well, SE Scoops reported that there's been discussions with Access. And as I noted in my story, I couldn't confirm or deny that. Access after that did issue a statement saying no truth to it. You would like, okay, nothing against Access. It's not the biggest network in the world. You would think it's going to take more than an Access, unless they're just willing to break the bank for some reason. It would take something bigger even than Access for a project like this, if it's a true traditional wrestling startup, to get off the ground. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. It may turn out to be a non-story, could turn out to be a huge story. We'll keep watching it. But the point is, John, not even the point, but I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. And again, everybody check out John's work, and begrudgingly, good luck to your Rams.
Thanks, and sorry they crushed the Vikings a few weeks ago, but they were in the way, so that just happens. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on again. It's been a while, but I hope we can come back soon. I got a nice new microphone. I hope it sounded good, so hopefully that'll help my chances of coming back soon. And please check out tjwrestling.net. Follow Jason. I read a lot of Jason's stuff also, just to get his perspective on things too. So there's a lot of stuff going on in wrestling. We didn't even talk about Survivor Series in a few weeks because WWE's barely mentioned it, right? But I'm excited about Becky versus Ronda, and Evolution was a great show. So hopefully things are moving in the right direction for WWE at the end of the year as we head to Royal Rumble season soon.
I don't know if you know this, John. It's the one night a year when Raw and SmackDown wrestlers collide.
Except Royal Rumble.
And on Friday with the World Cup and WrestleMania. Yeah. And anyway.
And whatever other things.
Yeah. Again, man, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Nope, I didn't forget, Saints fans. Your team beat my Vikings fair and square on Sunday. Bad pick six, a rare Adam Thielen fumble. Those were the differences in that game. Hey, what do you say we do it again in January and see what happens? And let's talk some wrestling again right back here next week on The Boom. Boo. Happy Halloween.